This is Redbeard in the studio. In June 1991, Lynyrd Skynyrd released an album which was highly significant in their long, colorful history. It would be the band's sixth studio album, but more importantly, it would be the first Lynyrd Skynyrd new studio album since 1977's Street Survivors, their first since the tragic plane crash that year claimed the lives of three band members, their first to anoint Johnny Van Zant, original Lynyrd Skynyrd singer-songwriter Ronnie Van Zant's youngest brother, as their new singer. Highly significant, too, was the return of original guitarist Ed King, who had bailed midway through the notorious 1975 torture tour amid accusations of physical abuse. And sadly, it was the first Lynyrd Skynyrd album without original guitarist Alan Collins, who had died a year earlier from complications from a deadly car crash. Because of these implications, there was great anticipation for the album Lynyrd Skynyrd 1991. So in May of that year, I was sent to the band's hometown of Jacksonville, Florida, to interview the members and host the North American world premiere broadcast on several hundred North American radio stations. With the passing of Gary Rossington, the last original member of Lynyrd Skynyrd, we present this encore in tribute to all of them. I hadn't seen the whole band since the day after the last show on the 1987 tribute tour in Dallas. I reminded Lynyrd Skynyrd guitarist, songwriter Gary Rossington, and singer Johnny Van Zant about the powerful emotional farewells that I witnessed among band members departing the hotel that day.
Lots of us were together for the first time in years and years, and we thought at that time that would be the last time we'd see each other. Even Johnny and me, yeah. We thought that, you know, it'd be all over. It was just going to, we were going to do that tour and quit. So it was real emotional and saying goodbye, a lot of tears. And
I think that's probably the reason how come we're here today, though, because of that morning. Because it's it's like, you know, man, how can you give that up?
We didn't want to quit.
You couldn't give it up. I mean, that night was so great there, and, you know, and the whole tour was so great. Is that what really, that's what really kept us together. Yeah. You know, to even go back out after that, we were like, well, I don't know, we don't want to cop out. You know, this was supposed to be a tributary, you know, this is all we were supposed to do.
Well, the audience,
you know, and,
too.
But the audiences were so great, man. It was like, how can you walk away from that, you know? I really understand how come a lot of, like, ball players and stuff like that. You know, I can't picture myself ever walking away from music, you know? And with audiences like these guys.
If you're accepted, we were accepted on that tour, and you look out and see the old fans, kids out there seeing the lyrics and crying, and it was like worth it and worthwhile. And then that last gig and saying goodbye was like, gosh, this isn't right. Why should we stop it? And so, you know, that's why we kept going and decided, well, let's take a few months off and see if we can write some. But we won't say we're going to do nothing. You know, let's just see. And about a week went by, and we wrote 20 songs. And
jeez.
No, not really. But, you know, just a little time went by, and we realized we could write together.
Yeah, we realized we could write.
And so we said, let's do it, you know. And everybody in the band wanted it, and all the fans seemed to, so we said, let's go for it.
That's something, you know, with this record here, you know, me and Gary said a long time ago, we said, well, if we can't do it and be proud of it, then we don't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's Smokestack Lightning, which leads off Lynyrd Skynyrd 1991. Written by Ed King, Gary Rossington, Johnny Van Zant, and in the small world department, Todd Cerny from Zanesville, Ohio, who sat next to me in German class in high school. I'm serious. I had spent the morning following the final tribute tour concert in 1987 with Ed King, so I asked him to recall those feelings.
We didn't believe it was over. I mean, like, it wasn't that we were in disbelief. It's just like we looked at each other and said, this ain't over. And really not that we were going to go out. I mean, we did go out and do a second leg of the tribute tour, but several of us had a feeling that, this ain't over. There's more to this than the tribute tour.
Former Lynyrd Skynyrd drummer Artemus Pyle.
This is a natural progression. You know, we came as far as we could take it. We needed some help. You know, we lost Alan. We needed Randall. You know, my injuries had caught up to me. My airplane crashes, car wrecks, and motorcycle wrecks had caught up to me. And I had broken my shoulder before we went in the studio. We were in rehearsal. I had, you know, they had all caught up to me, and I didn't have the snap I needed. We needed some help in the drum department. You know, lo and behold, we have Kurt Custer. He comes along like an angel, you know, that we needed. We needed more spark, more energy. And I was the weakest link in the band. I was the weakest link because of my injuries. And you can't record an album, you know, with a drummer that has trouble with his limbs. And so, you know, thank God, you know, Kurt comes along, we call him Cuss, and, you know, filled in and did an incredible job and made this album sound great. And, you know, I look at it like this, that if Ronnie Van Zant were here, he was always, you know, for the underdog or the guy that hadn't really been heard of that much, or, you know, and he would definitely put the thumbs up on Randall Hall, and who was Alan Collins' personal choice to replace him in the band, since he wasn't able to physically do it. And I never thought I would be faced with that either, but all of a sudden I physically couldn't pull some things off. And we were at a point that we had taken it to the point that we couldn't stop. We couldn't hold back. We couldn't let me heal up. We couldn't do this or that. We had to get help. And, you know, Cuss is the best possible person we could have gotten. I could go into his qualifications and I could talk about, you know, how he fits in the group perfectly and all that stuff. But all I'll say is this. Listen to the record. For everybody that, you know, loves Lynyrd Skynyrd, listen to the record and you tell me if Cuss is not the guy, you know.
Make you cry, but my friends tell me if you let her. nothing left to lose. Just lay it on the line.
I'm keeping my faith.
Yeah, I'll find a one who won't steal me blind, who won't turn and run.
I'm keeping my faith.
I'm trusting in you. So don't treat me like
those other ones do. Ain't no getting around it.
Tell me to my face, do you think I'm a fool
for keeping my faith?
The Faith from Lynyrd Skynyrd 1991. As far as the decision as to who would front the legendary Southern rock juggernaut, co-founder Gary Rossington said it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, the only one in my mind was Johnny, you know, and so other people had, we were going to get a lot of people at first. I mean, everybody had different ideas, Paul Rogers, and a lot of, I can go on with a list of names, but I'm not, but you know, Johnny was the only one. We were going to get a female, but we didn't think she knew three steps. But no, you know what I mean. Johnny was the only one that could have sang for Ronnie on that tour and with the band now. You know, I mean, it's just, I say the band now, I'm real proud of this new band, Skynyrd. I call it 1991 with pride because it's new. And, you know, but Johnny definitely is the only one. That was really easy.
Endorsing Johnny Van Zandt for Lynyrd Skynyrd's singer are keyboard player Billy Powell, guitarist Randall Hall, and original bass player Leon Wilkerson.
You know, we just thought that, you know, Ronnie had been awful proud of him, you know, smiling down from heaven, going, go for it, little brother, you know, do it, yeah. Do it. And Johnny did it. He did what he was called to do.
I honestly feel we couldn't have gotten this far without him.
Boy, and that's high praise.
For more obvious reasons, too. I mean, he fills a bill vocally, you know, and he's definitely showed his hand in on the writing end mm-hmm. on this record. And
boy, he wrote almost every song in there.
And he doesn't knock anybody's teeth out in the band.
Well, of course he helps. Of course he helps keep that Skynyrd sound, too, you know. You know, I don't like to compare him to Ronnie. Nobody, he doesn't like to be compared to Ronnie, and we don't like to compare him to Ronnie. But, you know, he does give us still that good old Southern sound. He worked. It worked.
Here's Lynyrd Skynyrd guitarist Ed King in the studio.
Back when Ronnie was alive, when I was in the band, he told me many times that, he said, man, he said, one day soon I'm going to get out of this business. And he said, I'm just going to sit back and write the tunes, and my brother's going to be here singing them. He said it many times.
Girls. Oh, they look like angels on Saturday night.
Hey, this is Gary Rosen of Lynyrd Skynyrd 1991, and you're listening to our world premiere of our new album, Lynyrd Skynyrd 1991. Now, I got some stories I tell. So me and Ronnie used to bass fish all the time. Lots of times, Lacey'd have to take us because we didn't have a way to get there, and we had an old John boat, but we'd have to use his white station wagon to carry us down to the fishing hole. Anyway, Johnny was a little kid then, and we couldn't cuss or talk about girls or...
Johnny.
We were only 16, 17 at that time.
But you were men of the world.
Yeah, we were men of the world, and you know, we couldn't talk about girls or cuss, or we couldn't even, you know, or we'd say shit or something, and Lacey go, "Don't be cussing, Johnny's over there," you know. And then we used to make it, try to leave him home, not go fishing with us, so we could cuss and talk about girls.
Have some fun. Have some fun, right?
Yeah, but no, he was just, you know, he was just a kid, and Lacey... You know, he's the daddy of all the Van Zandt boys. He used to tell he was going to keep Johnny good. He wanted him to be, first of all, not hanging out with us.
Rock and roll. More in the Small World department. One of my favorite debut albums in the mid-80s had been by a Southern California band called Little America. So imagine my surprise to find Little America drummer Kurt Custer had joined Lynyrd Skynyrd by 1991.
To really integrate, I mean, for me personally, I mean, it takes time. I mean, I think time is a big factor. Musicianship is a big thing in this band. And I think in Randall's case, they recognize a really good musician. And it goes even beyond that because these guys are such good musicians. For me personally, I joined the band 6-7 months ago, and I've gotten to know these guys, you know, over the months, and it's like a family, and it's very tight knit. Everybody does their part, and comes together. And when we do come together, I've noticed there's a feeling that they know in their hearts that they want to do it. There's that drive there still after all these years, an ambition, if you want to call it. That's what keeps them motivated, and to be asked to play with these guys is just a great honor. You become part of a family, you really do. And I have not known these guys long enough to really elaborate any further. For me, this is an objective view. And this is what I see coming into this situation brand new, is that they're a family and they'll take care of you. And that's...
Once you're in, too.
That's it. That's what it is. And it's certainly a pleasure for me to play with such great musicians as these guys are, because they've been a big influence on me growing up. And to be able to play with these guys is just It's really is an honor.
I used to live in a poor neighborhood. My friends and me, we always had a time. Never had no money, but we had it so good. Those days are gone, and I wanna go back. So pure, so simple. Never thought about it. When you're young, you don't care. You don't realize it till it's all behind. Take it for granted, just not aware.
From Lynyrd Skynyrd 1991, that's Pure and Simple. In that honest spirit, I asked plane crash survivors Leon Wilkerson and Billy Powell why Lynyrd Skynyrd refused to quit.
The Southern pride that, you know, I haven't been through everything we've been through, and knowing that we still have the availability and opportunity and still can do it, you know, it's
what we do best and what we love the best, too. You know,
we know we can't do it all our lives. You know, eventually we're going to be too old to do it. So I think, and the music that we're creating is just still there, and I can't leave it. I can't give up. I can't think of anything else I'd rather do.
One of the most poignant songs in the entire Lynyrd Skynyrd catalog is Mama, Afraid to Say Goodbye. Two of the song's composers, Gary Rossington and Johnny Van Zandt, share the touching inspiration.
My mother was real sick, and she had a stroke and a heart bypass and all this, and I went in. I was real scared and went to her one day and said, God, I'm going to hate it, and I'm freak out when you die, and, you know, I'm going to lose it and stuff. And she told me how not to cry. She'd lived her life and had great kids, and she wanted to go see my daddy who died a long time ago, you know, and made me feel good. And she said, don't feel bad, you know. So I told Johnny about it that day. We were waiting for everybody to get to rehearsal, and then the song just kind of came. Him and Ed went over in the corner and went bam, bam, bam. And
yeah,
the next day we had it, but it's just a story, you know?
Yeah, exactly what Gary said, you know, and I think it's one thing that Donnie helped mm-hmm. on Killer and Good Thing, I believe, and on Mama, too. And I think I could really relate to it, you know, because my mom, my dad, my parents are just... You know, they're the most special things in my life. If your parents don't mean nothing to you, then you don't have nothing, you know, to me. And my old man has saying, thou shalt respect your parents. And which I do, man. I love them to death. And whenever he told me that, you know, it just hit me so hard that it had to be a song.
Sure. my love. Can't think of this life without you.
It's hard to try.
Welcome back to the world premiere of Lynyrd Skynyrd 1991. I'm Ed King. And it's funny, the last guitar thing I do at the very end, which was never rehearsed, we were playing this song live in the studio, and most of the tracks were recorded live, and we did some touching up later. But we're doing the song live in the studio, and all of a sudden, that this last figure that I do, I'm playing it, and I never rehearsed it before, and I'm looking down, watching myself playing this, going, wait a minute, this like isn't even me playing this. And after I'm hearing it back, what it is, and I dig it, this is it. The song is Mama Afraid to Say Goodbye, and that figure is, to me, it represents the angels coming down from heaven.
Lynyrd Skynyrd's Gary Rossington and Johnny Van Zandt credit the undying loyalty of their fans for sustaining them against incredible hardships.
Every day I am. That's another keeping the faith. You know, the fans keep the faith in us. That's what it's about, but I'm amazed every day, and it blows my mind even more lately, because since we started this, you know, since the record's been done and we've been talking about going out and everything, it's just every day, you know, it's we're into what we're doing more now is what I'm saying, instead of not doing the band, we are now. And gosh, there's so many dedicated fans, and their kids are fans, and there's new ones, and their mothers are fans, you know, and it's humbling. I mean,
I think just for me being an outsider too, you know, and being a fan of Lynyrd Skynyrd before ever, like I said, you know, thought about
dreamed,
yeah, dreamed of being with the band. I was still there 10 years later. I was still keeping the faith, you know, myself. I was still listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd up until, you know, they asked me to come and sing with the band. I'm as a fan too. I'm a fan of Lynyrd Skynyrd. So I think for me, you know, looking at it that way, if we would have never done this, I would have still been there 20 years from that time. But I think the thing with Skynyrd is that it's kind of like the Stones and Zeppelin and, you know, and the Almonds. You know, there's that following there. It's real stuff. It's the roots of rock and roll. It's kind of like Elvis, you know.
2.5 points in mixed rating. High-tech stocks at the White House. Press secretary announced that the president will hold a special press conference today at 4 o'clock. Meanwhile, the First Lady was visiting a local weatherman.
You gotta lock your doors, keep the world out. We're closing ourselves in. If you watch the news, it's gay to death, through hell and back again. Here's at the wrong end of a gun. Got the criminal making the laws. Got the good men on the run. Yeah. I've seen enough. We don't own anything we've got. We're giving it all away. But that don't make no sense to me. You know who's gonna pay? It's the man. 12 hours a day. The woman working in the rain.
Jewish terror responders to that German auto manufacturer.
I see now.
Hi, this is Ed King of Lynyrd Skynyrd 1991.
I'm Johnny Van Zandt.
And I'm Gary Rossington of Lynyrd Skynyrd 1991.
And I'm Artemus Pyle of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
And this is the world premiere of our new album, Lynyrd Skynyrd 1991.
I'm Leon Wilkerson of Lynyrd Skynyrd 1991.
I'm Randall Hall of Lynyrd Skynyrd 1991.
I'm Billy Powell of Lynyrd Skynyrd 1991. But what we're going to do, we're going to start out in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And then, and the people that were holding the tickets, see, we're heading towards Baton Rouge. The airplane crashed, 77. The day the airplane crashed, and the people, some of those people kept those tickets as souvenirs, and that can be their ticket to get in the concert.
I have never heard of such a thing. That is the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
I believe there are a lot of ticket holders still.
I think you're right.
Sure they are.
Probably laminated and in plexiglass and everything.
I'd like to advise them to just make Xerox copies and bring those and turn them in so they can keep the original.
You know, that would be a heck of a dilemma. If I was living in Baton Rouge, had a Skynyrd ticket from 77 that for a show that never happened, I don't know if I'd want to turn it in, but Lord knows I want to be there at that concert.
Well, look at how much money you're saving, though.
That's one of the reasons I keep on going, because that's what happens with this band here now. Sometimes we'll be hitting the note, so to speak, you know, hitting it and going, and I forget all the, I hate to say shit, but all the stuff that happened with the old band and the bad luck and troubles and just the, you know, the blues we had and the tragedies, you know, and it all goes away with this because we're going on and the feelings are there from, I know Alan and Ronnie and Stevie and all of them are looking down on us with the grins. I know this in my heart. I think I know, but as with Johnny's the only other person who would have to feel it that deep that it's all right to do this, you know, from his brother. But I feel it, and I know that it's all right. But anyway, I feel this playing, and so does Artemus and Billy and Leon at times. We talk about, God, sometimes it's like all the old stuff didn't happen, and this is so good and new and fresh, and it's kind of like we deserve it because we had so much bad that, man, and just to play music, you know, that's the only payback we want, you know. But, that's a real good way to explain it.
I tell you, that is the truth. Though. I mean, it would mean myself. I mean, I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't believe that Ronnie would want me to do it.
Yeah.
Not at all. Because I got to die one day, and I wouldn't want him to meet me up there kicking my butt.
No, but no.
But that, no, man, I loved him, man. He was my brother, and gosh, man, I wouldn't do it for no other reason but those reasons. And again,
it's like Johnny said earlier, I don't compare us even with the old band because we are different and new. But we can play the old stuff as good or better, you know, as the old, you know, because I played it with them and, you know, but the new stuff is in its own way, is as good or better, so to speak. And I'm real happy with that. And it really takes away from all the old hurt.
It continues. People think the legacy of Lynyrd Skynyrd had something, you know, primarily to do with Ronnie Van Zant. And of course it did. Ronnie and Gary and Alan, you know, kind of started the band, brought Billy and Leon in. You know, one thing led to another. They brought Ed in. So the legacy is something Ronnie started. And Gary started, and Alan started, but
it didn't end.
And it did not end, and it was never tangible. You know, you can't put your finger on it, but it's still there, and the free bird is flying high as ever. I know that. You know, I always say this. I feel like Ronnie, and Steve, and Alan would be very satisfied and happy about this record and this project and almost everything. You know. There might be a little tweaking, you know, but overall, I mean, they would be very happy that it's come out the way it's come out.
And I'm facing the van, and out of the corner of my eye, I see something fluttering on the ground. And I looked over, and it was a little sparrow. I thought it had a broken wing. So my intent was to go and check the bird out, and I gently lifted it up in my hands, figured it had a broken wing. And there was some kind of a black thread-like thing wrapped around its leg. It wasn't a piece of string. It wasn't a piece of thread. It was like a piece of moss or something. Like I've never seen, you know. It's a weird bush. And I remember when it was fluttering, there was like a branch off this bush that was pulling, you know, with the bird. Every time the bird flapped around, the limb moved in perfect, you know, sync with it. When I lifted the bird and realized this thread was on there, I realized it was attached to this limb, and I popped it, and the bird just went pew, like a bullet, just took off flying. I was going to carry it in and get someone to take it to a veterinarian or something, try to save it. And that was a strange experience for me for the first night Johnny sang the words to Freebird.
We can't seem to find love.
that song be a fitting epitaph to all of the members of the original Lynyrd Skynyrd band, Ronnie Van Zant, Alan Collins, Ed King, Billy Powell, Leon Wilkeson, Bob Burns, and now, finally, Gary Rossington. This original Lynyrd Skynyrd 1991 world premiere was broadcast in June 1991, produced by Bullet Productions for the Album Network. This special tribute was written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Redbeard Rocks Productions, copyright 2023, all rights reserved. For more podcast interviews, visit In the Studio with Redbeard on Spotify or Facebook, and anytime at inthestudio.net.